Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Let the buzz begin, Chicago.
Oh, hi, I didn't see you there.
I did see you there.
I literally could not see.
Guys, Top Chef All-Stars, Season 17, Episode 5, Feeling Good, but were the Gordons? This is Dave. He is still gloating about his win in the family Easter egg decorating competition last week. He won't stop talking about it.
It's true. I am still gloating. I think you should all see this. This is...
Oh, he's blown out.
Our lighting is too good. This is Moses parting the Red Sea.
It's Easter, Old Testament.
Easter egg style. Mm-hmm. Speaks to my Jewish roots.
Correct.
Yes. And this is Anne.
Hi.
And she works until at least 11 o'clock every night this week. And so she gets an extra big pour of wine.
Welcome to the Not Bad Word Show.
As a reward, I guess it is.
Cheers.
As a whatever
it's
it is.
It's a coping mechanism.
As a coping mechanism, uh-huh. Yes.
Guys, we're talking about Top Chef. We're talking about season 17. We're talking about episode 5. Let's talk about what we're going to get today. Episode 5 brought us not only the 11 remaining chef contestants, but also their nearest and dearest. This episode was like Family Feud meets The Apprentice, which means much like quarantine, everyone got on everyone's nerves, and the family challenges were plentiful. Our chef contestants were also challenged to show off their research and development and marketing skills, which is not something you think about when you think about chefs necessarily. They had to create
unless you're on the Food Network.
Unless you're on the Food. Oh, right. Well, they all want to be on the Food Network, but they're on the Bravo. They had to create a food product and then sling it at the mall. Some chefs sold out, and some chefs had to hold a 50% off friends and family sale, and then they had to get rid of the rest of it at a clearance sale at Nordstrom Rack.
They actually went to sling at the mall.
Yeah.
Westfield is trying to be fancy mall, but it's the mall.
It's like a nice mall, though.
It is a nice mall.
We digress.
But it's the mall.
So basically, buckle up, and if you're Leanne's mom, please sit down and drink some water. You're stressing me out. Let's talk about it. Let's get into it. This is Top Chef, the after show. Quick housekeeping. Can you please subscribe to our channel? Can you please give us a thumbs up? Can you please listen to our podcast? Can you please make our dreams come true?
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's talk about Taste of the Episode. Segment 1, Taste of the Episode. What? I kind of cheated on this one today, but we'll get there. What dish does this episode remind us of and why?
Okay. Not so much a dish as much
Mine's not a dish either.
The plate at Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's fun.
Your plate at Thanksgiving.
So I didn't say that. That's good.
It's always nice to see your family, but it's also very stressful and adds stress.
Great answer.
Undue stress sometimes, especially when you're trying to cook with them in the kitchen.
Because mm-hmm. you have a management level on top of cooking.
Exactly. And when you have
I really
a
like
vision,
you didn't tell me this before.
When you have a vision stress. For a dish
yes.
and you have to ask for helpers.
Yes.
Who may or may not be able to execute.
Like if you had our 3-year-old be a sous chef.
Yes, it's not stressful in the sense of getting to see your family. It's stressful cooking with your family. And that's what these chefs were up against.
Some marriages were put to the test this episode, and it wasn't ours.
No, ours is still strong.
I feel like if we had to ship any of the marriages on the show, it would be the Kevin and wife, I can't remember, Hot Salt Lanta marriage. Very cute.
Oh, very cute, yes.
Shipping means like, you're obsessed with someone's relationship.
Oh, I thought you were sending it away.
No, it's like slang. I think it's like outdated child slang that no one uses anymore, but like I ship, I don't know. Drake and Rihanna, they weren't even a thing.
It never made it into my vernacular, but all the same, they are very cute.
I keep you hip though.
She's a lot taller than him too.
Never noticed that. I did not notice that.
I think so.
I was more noticing her undercut.
That's always.
Again, we digress. Okay, me? Oh, me? What dish does this episode remind me of? I went with the mall theme. And again, not a dish, kind of. It's a meal. It's a mall meal. This episode reminded me of a hot dog on a stick. Because you know you had this? Or is this only a West Coast brand thing?
I don't know if it's only West Coast, but it wasn't at the Broadway Mall.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Hot dog on a stick?
I mean a corn dog on a stick.
The stand is called Hot Dog on a Stick.
No, I don't
Everyone
know
who works there wears these crazy tall hats. They're all like semi-hot girls. It seems like something from the 70s that just
it's sort of like
carried into the 80s.
Stranger Things.
It was exactly that.
Yeah.
Hot Dog on a Stick. Because lemonade, which you'd always get a hot dog on a stick, very refreshing. And I found this episode to be refreshing. It's all the good parts of Top Chef. It's like a challenge. It's like a little out of the box. A lot of people, a little drama, medical drama, personal, interpersonal drama, slightly. And just, I don't know. I just liked it.
Largely delightful.
Largely delightful.
Yeah, I love it.
And the guilty pleasure part is when you go to Hot Dog on a Stick, as a vegetarian growing up, I got a cheese on a stick. Legit, you guys, a square cheddar string cheese just dipped in a corn dog thing.
That does sound delicious. Probably better than a hot dog.
Delicious. Something, for some reason, mustard went the best with it. I think that's maybe where I started eating mustard.
Yeah. Thank you.
We didn't have mustard at my house growing up or black pepper. I feel like you should all know this.
But now we have many mustards to make up for lost times.
I love mustard. I hate black pepper. We think it's an allergy. Well, it's an allergy. Anyways, episode title, Bring Your Loved One to Work. Okay. Let's talk about the appetizer.
That's true.
Well, it's going great. We were saying if you do a side-by-side of our screen grabs from our shows, we get more disheveled as it goes on. But that's okay. This is a bugway. Let's talk about it later. The appetizer, first part of the show recap, Saltgate 2020 resolution, which, you know, I mean, fine. Malarkey and Leanne, they hugged it out in the stew room, moved on.
He
sucks.
Watching it last week in real time, I misinterpreted exactly what happened. He had been saying that despite the fact that he had seasoned her hummus, that he could only
seasoned her hummus. So, I couldn't do proper because I was holding the wine.
He could only do so much because she didn't season the hummus throughout the preparation process. I guess it's not cooking per se, but preparation.
It was root.
I had missed that. And so then that whole exchange made more sense. All the same, they love each other now.
They're fine.
At least enough to hug.
There was a house beat where nothing happened. And then we went to the quick fire, which was, we're talking about the quick fire. The Padma intro, there's a joke there with, I think she stands on a Padma.
Oh, yes.
We'll talk about that later.
It took us till episode 5 to come up with that one, but I'm glad that we got there.
It's a trying time.
Mostly you.
There, instead of having the regular intro to the quick fire, it was phones at your station, Metro PCS phones.
Apparently they've rebranded. They're just Metro now. So I had to ask,
I don't know,
is that the same as Metro PCS? So
I mean, it must be.
Seems like a missed opportunity.
Yeah. I feel like I heard talking pretty. What's happening? Anyhow, Metro PCS phone talking. I hear it still. Anyway, they're having a chat with your family time, which they all just start walking around. And that was a really funny bit about, we feel like we're someone in New York, just everyone walking around yelling weird things. And going, what does it look like? Whatever. And quick braid alert. My braids today are an homage to Karen's always hairdo of the braids. Very nice. Nice hairdo she always has. Tight braids.
Where does she get the time? I guess you can do it rather quickly.
I just assume all people who don't have a one-year-old and a three-year-old hanging on them at all times have tons of time.
Sure, but she's on a...
Speaking for myself.
Program.
Ourselves. True. So their loved ones are at Moza, where we've been.
We haven't.
Very good.
I think it's great. You only think it's
okay. We didn't
get,
well, we got pizza, so we didn't have any of these kind of dishes.
No, we went with less adventurous eaters. Not that we did.
Shade. So their adventurous eaters are having a dish. They have to explain over the phone what the dish is. There's definitely a different levels of stacked in terms of Stephanie's husband's a chef. The third Voltaggio. Enter the third Voltaggio.
Third Voltaggio who's a pastry chef at one of their restaurants.
Where is she at? Oh, I didn't hear the part that it was at one of their restaurants.
Yeah, his restaurant.
Oh, he's her boss.
You can't say the S word, but she kind of, the bed, blank the bed.
I'm like, sister?
Yeah.
She's sister in the bed? News. Yeah, she's not a personality plus. So, but then you have people who are like, their mom. Some of the moms probably know how to cook, some didn't.
Some of them were business partners, so even though they weren't necessarily like chefs, they were rounded enough probably to like pick up on some things, I would guess.
I stan Eric's wife. Stan means...
Please.
So like Stan is like from, it's Eminem.
Yeah, please don't go on wondering why. Yeah, that one.
So if you say you stan something, you're obsessed with it.
Okay.
So that makes sense. It's just the way it goes. Anyway, what did you think about how this went as a challenge?
I thought
it was like a quick fire where someone's describing something over the phone. It's pretty funny.
I thought it was outstanding.
Yeah.
From a competition
standpoint.
It's
almost been an elimination challenge.
I was thinking that as it was playing out, but then I thought that there's a little bit too much of an X factor that's just not fair. to put too much riding on it in their hands, especially when there's such different levels.
Especially when someone thinks fish is chicken.
Yeah, I would have been upset if it was a, you know, an elimination challenge and some of those people were relying on.
But so they usually bring the family in, correct me if I'm wrong, like later in the season.
Yeah, when there's fewer help. When there's fewer left.
And it's like they're really just ever, all the chefs have lost their minds anyway, and they're really, like four or five.
Yeah, which I thought was interesting because one, they were getting on the phone with their family members as if they hadn't spoken to them.
Well, they hadn't.
In months and months.
Well,
and
no,
years.
Not months. No.
And they've probably been gone for 2 weeks at this point, and many of them probably live in different cities and probably speak to their families like once to twice a week, if I had to guess.
It's all true.
But I love this. I love this challenge. I thought it was fantastic.
It's really good. Yeah, I don't feel like they've done really quite anything.
Most
have they done anything with the describing of the food? No.
I think that they've had the opposite, where they've had the chefs coach their family members.
That is what they've done quite a few times. This was a nice spin on that.
This was the opposite. I think it's always great. And part of me was, part of it was, is because I was thinking to myself, oh, I would effing nail this. Because
it depends on which of your family members would be describing the dish.
Well, no, if I was
like
the
your dad
family
would
member
do
describing
a great
it, because I was like, that would have been so easy to describe
but
those
what,
things.
But what about who of your family members would you rather be the one doing it for you? They all are good at food.
Executing the cooking?
No. In this challenge, I know the answer for you, but you tell me.
Oh, it would be my sister.
No, Uncle Michael.
Oh, I was thinking just my immediate, yes.
Uncle Michael.
Yes, if I was going outside of the immediate three, then yes, I would definitely say Uncle Michael.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, but you'd pick your sister over your dad?
Over my parents? Yeah.
Julie, shout out. Okay, what I would like to talk about is one of my hobbies is listening to, nothing's more entertaining than chefs condescending to non-chefs. It's just fun. That was part of the entertainment factor of it too. Remember when Jen's sister explained, world of things to talk about there, but when her sister was explaining what it was and Jen shouts out, yellowtail collar. It's like, don't yell it out. Everyone can hear you.
Because that's one that nobody should have got.
Nene was cheating off Jeffrey. Full on. But they're best friends, so who cares? Nene has a lot of best friends. And also
Gregory.
That's what I meant. Who's Jeffrey? I always call him Jeffrey.
Your work associate.
That's true. Oh, yeah. I even wrote Geoffrey. Also, Karen's sister is an animal who was eating with her hands. She was like, this feels like, and it's like, what are you doing? If Nancy's Lovin' was there, she'd be like, what are you doing?
She was eating this food.
She literally had her hands in the plate. Like barbarian.
She's from Philadelphia. That's what they do there. Shout out to all of our viewers from Philadelphia.
The couples competition of the way Kevin and his wife speak and the way Malarkey and his wife speak. Awkward times. Good marriage.
Who would be
marriage.
A better dinner date?
Oh, Kevin.
Yeah, I know. I knew the answer to that question.
I don't want to hang out with Malarkey at all, ever.
No, I find him strangely compelling, but I don't know.
He's amazing TV.
His list.
Leanne's mom, well, we're going to get there.
Okay.
Leanne's mom is an icon. She puts the phone down so she can finish eating the steak. Leanne's mom has stolen the entire episode. It was truly a roller coaster with her the whole time.
And described the sauce as being soy sauce based in an Italian restaurant.
Or the way our 3-year-old says it, soy sauce. Can I have some soy sauce with that? And then Brian Voltaggio did the wrong fish.
Who again?
Pastry chef. She should know. If she worked at Voltaggio's, if she worked at Inc., that's a seafood restaurant.
Sure, you can certainly make the argument that she's not a chef. She's a pastry chef.
Shade,
different.
Double shade.
No, but I'm saying she's around all of the, she should have known
soak
it was
that
not
up like
Branzino.
Like a sponge.
Even if she didn't know what the yellowtail collar was.
What is it?
It's.
I don't think I like it. Yeah, I don't like that.
No, it's actually quite fishy.
Is it?
It's
is
like
it
a
fatty?
Much fit because it's fattier, so it's like a fishier part of the fish.
So when we go to restaurants and we get Branzino, which admittedly Branzino is delicious, or just anything like crawfish, whatever, I make Dave take off all the bits for me.
I don't mind.
The wings, the fins, any legs. I don't want to see the body parts. Mm-hmm. I only started eating seafood when I was in my 20s, so like 2 years ago. Anyway, guest judge, Nance.
Yeah.
Nance Pants. She of the many barrettes?
She is.
She's all up in this episode.
Yeah, she's very, very excited that they're filming in LA. Because she's up in many episodes.
Right?
Yeah, I feel like she's been in every, like not every season, but she's often appears in at least one episode. But this season, it's like, this is her backyard. She's like, I'll do that one. I'll do that one.
I'd like to introduce a new segment. Might only be in this episode, which I'm calling Spiciest Laugh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The spicy is facetious because the spiciest laugh is Brian Voltaggio. Brian Voltaggio. Love him.
Spicy just sounds
like he's not consistent. Like, that's just.
He's very solid. They like his cruise food. It's like, it's probably like the best wedding food you've ever had.
Our wedding food was the best wedding food. Who was in the top? Who was the top quickfirers?
The top quickfirers. That would have been Gregory.
That's right here.
Oh, perfect. That would be Melissa.
Yep.
Gregory would not in the top.
Who's Jeffrey?
I don't know. Melissa.
Yep.
Leanne.
Yeah.
And Kevin.
Correct.
Kevin has been nailing it, this competition. He had one rough dish and he's been at the top every time.
He hammered his tuna and then hammered his way right to victory.
Melissa just wins every time, so why not put her in the top?
She's so far ahead right now that I'm actually surprised they don't make more of a stink about it. And also then Malarkey didn't even have him at the top of his dumb list.
No, he had her like third place or something.
Winner gets $10,000 from Metro. Congrats. I think you can only use it on a Metro card or a network though. Oh, maybe it's for a Metro card.
Oh, perfect.
Maybe it was from the New York City subway.
They have a lot.
Pretty sure it's just if you like are in a crime ring, you can purchase $10,000 worth of burner phones.
Yeah, now they're just sitting gathering dust. So they might as well just
get some
free publicity out of it for $10,000.
Remember the old Motorola razor?
Yeah, sure.
Anyhow, and you get immunity, which is cool. So then I'd like to move to the segment called the best pair, like a fine wine and cheese.
Well, did we say that Kevin won? Did we make that definitive announcement?
Guys, it's been a week. Kevin won.
Yeah, so he most closely recreated the dish that his wife described.
It looked very similar. Other people, his wife was very good at describing.
Melissa's was also
very close.
Looked exactly like the picture.
Yeah.
And another one that might have been it. Those two were really phenomenal. Leanne, despite using soy sauce in place of balsamic vinegar.
Somehow she pulled it off.
Nancy decided that they both have a...
Nancy liked Leanne's way and might be stealing it. You don't even like balsamic vinegar.
No, I do.
This is a bit we do.
Yeah.
Entertaining only to us.
We won't.
Much like most of the show. Guys, now we've decided, Kevin, he won. I mean, he's got immunity before.
Yeah, I think
he got last week.
Yeah, I think
Or the fried rice challenge the week before.
Yeah, because he went experimental in that elimination challenge.
Oh, and they said if you had not had immunity. But this is not the same for that.
No.
He was good this time. Back to my segment. The best pair, like a fine wine and cheese. Now, in this week's The Best Pairing, Like a Fine Wine and Cheese, it's actually one of the members from last week's The Best Pairing. So, I mean, she gets around. And it's Nini and Karen who are having a lady romance because they're roomies and they call each other best friends. And then that was even double reinforced. I'm here for the human commentary. In next week's teaser, still best friends. So much so that they're on a team together. I wonder if they're setting us up for best friends breaking up. Or winning. I don't know.
That they would be really be stretching if they've had those, you know.
I think when we had producer Katie Deutsch on last time, she made it clear that sometimes you just got to like fill it with stuff that happens in the house.
But they've gone back to that whole men versus women shtick for a couple of times. And it was always Nini and Karen sort of leading the charge as being besties.
That's true. You're right.
And for them to like the payoff being they fight a little in their team challenge seems a little bit of a underwhelming payoff.
Let's talk about the main course, the challenge. Set us up. Tee it up for us. What is the challenge this week? Did you like it, etc.? First, tell us what it is, and then we'll do in or out.
So the challenge this week was to create a item.
They called it a product, which I thought was actually kind of confusing. It's a food product. They should have said create a food product.
A food product.
They kept saying product.
Sell at the Westfield Century City or I guess any other place that dabbles in retail.
Commerce. Yeah.
Probably e-commerce would be fine as well.
Yeah.
You had to use said condiment product. Or product or
yeah,
sauce.
Yeah, it almost was. They should have just said a condiment, but that's maybe too limiting.
It was would be a little limiting in order to create a dish. And so you got to...
With your loved one. Helping.
With yes, I was just about to say we were just introducing same elements in different order. Ardor. So they have to cook a dish using the product with their loved one.
Mm-hmm. And then how was the, this I thought so was extra, possibly overly complicated that I didn't even understand until Dave explained it to me later.
I think that I understood correctly. And this is what I explained to Em, is there was two pieces to the challenge. The first was to win over customers with your product and sell it.
Sell it, meaning every person there got a ticket and they could only spend it once, but then they actually got the product. That's fine.
Right. So they got, and whoever sold the most, we're doing air quotes.
Yes.
Whoever sold the most would get
immunity. I thought
it
would win.
For the actual challenge.
This is not a great...
With the actual challenge. And I'll explain how I'll explain to our listeners how I explain it to you. And I guess it makes sense. It's just a stretch and it's weird.
It's weird.
So they would...
And then there was still a winner based on the dish you had to make with the challenge.
So that person had immunity for the actual challenge, which was the dish as it is in every elimination challenge. So my takeaway was, what happens if you create the most wonderful dipping sauce that the world has ever tasted? Because we love dipping sauces and I want the best one.
Best still is nice.
But imagine you're serving said dipping sauce, life-changing, most delicious dipping sauce.
But your dish is your finger.
With or a raw chicken wing.
But who would do that?
By mistake. Because it's a cooking error.
Who would do that? It sounds gross.
Yeah, no, if you...
Is there such a thing as chicken tartare?
No, under... No, you would... It would... Salmonella, it would be very bad.
I don't know what's going on with meat.
In most circumstances, you would get sent home for your very undercooked chicken wing. But if you sold the most of your blue cheese dipping
sauce, it's just
sauce,
such a slim chance that the person who has the best thing has the worst dish. And it seems like a dumb challenge. Just give them money or something.
The average Joe who's walking by would not be able to differentiate and say, crappy dish, amazing condiment.
No, exactly.
So it wouldn't, it doesn't really make sense.
It's like how when you're doing videos and people like or don't like the video, a large part of that, besides obviously the editing, is the music. This is just an insider pro tip where it's a subconscious thing that affects it a lot. Anyway, I mean,
music and dipping sauces, just same. Paramount.
So Jen loves ginger and lemon. And that's something to think about.
We drink it every day in our tea.
Homemade. She loves ginger and lemon. A lot of stuff. We'll talk about this. And you know what Eric loves? His cute wife. Love them. So two best couples. Kevin.
Eric, his wife. Yeah.
Dream. Leanne's mom. That was stressful.
Very stressful. So they set that up at the end of last week.
Yeah.
When they showed her mom, you know, looking at the beginning of a fainting spell.
I mean, everything bad happens to Leanne.
Yeah. My mouth has been like hanging open since they showed that to us last week.
Yes.
And in hindsight, you probably knew it wasn't going to be that bad, but
I didn't
know.
She was going to crump on the air or anything.
Yeah, but... no. But on top of everything else that we're dealing with right now, that I had to worry about that for a week.
Also, you're mad at that.
Yeah,
I understand that. I just think it's more like poor Leanne. She has to leave last season because she gets altitude sickness while pregnant, and then something else happened before too. Didn't she have some sort of weird exit the first? Because that was her. She came back because she got kicked off something else that happened the season before. We didn't do our homework on this. The point is, if you want to chat us on YouTube and tell us what actually happened, that other thing.
I only like Leanne, okay. So I haven't like really followed her.
I'm getting trolled by our guest who said, Jen, I don't need to know what you're drinking. What's that mean? Noelia, what does that mean? Jen? Oh, Jen says to her sister. When she's literally like, I don't need to know about the fork. What are you drinking? We'll save that for. We have some special guests coming up later. I probably should have said that at the top of the episode.
Sure. Do
we have some special guests?
Do our rundown?
Yeah, I did the rundown.
Yeah, you did your rundown.
I forgot to put that part. You guys, we're learning as we go. We appreciate.
Special. Yeah.
So they prep for the thing. Leanne's mom is okay. She's been sent home. It's too hot in there with the lights. She's been working all day.
Let's take a step back. Not only is she okay, she's like a dynamo in the kitchen.
But we're not there yet. We're at the. Oh, I'm saying she's passed out now. That's where we're at in the episode.
Oh, sorry. I'm fast-forwarding ahead. So she returns triumphantly and is a dynamo in the kitchen.
She does, and she is.
Yeah.
So then we get a little home beat. And this one I thought was one of the more hilarious and entertaining home beats that we've had so far, which is called Malarkey's Hit List. You go ahead.
He's a list guy.
I mean, same.
At the end of every week.
He's a sociopath. Let's be real.
At the end of every week, he creates a list ranking all of the contestants.
The murderers.
Naturally, he puts himself at the top of the list, mostly because he views himself as a good competitor as opposed to a good chef. Anyway, he has a distorted view of reality because his rankings are way off base.
They're pretty off. They're not completely off, but his rankings, just real quick. Brian, no. Kevin, yes. Mel should be number one. Karen, Jen, Gregory, Nini, Eric, Steph, and Leanne.
I mean, any list that doesn't have Melissa and Gregory at the top, I think is just he's wearing blinders.
Right, and he's in the competition, so he can't see it. I'm sorry, obviously he ranks himself first. He can't see it. He doesn't want to put the true real people at the top.
Right. Although Karen,
it's like a psychological warfare.
She's a dark horse, I believe, of yours as well. And he had her quite high on the list. But
that's true. He had her fourth.
Look, a broken clock is right twice a day, so.
That is an amazing, hilarious dadism.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Sure thing. You got it.
Okay. We're at the mall. We're cooking up a storm. The Westfield Mall. It's literally, they've created a food court in what is actually just a walkway over to where the movie theaters are. And everyone's getting ready. So everyone has basically made sauce. I mean,
variants of sauce, sure.
Sauce.
Some heartier than others.
I call him a saucier. He makes amazing sauces. Okay. Oh, we got to wrap it up. Oh, no. We have to get to our special guest. So many things to do. Okay, guys, here's the deal. Everyone makes a sauce, but not really. So let's just quickly talk about what people make. A sauce. Something we're going to talk about in a second. A hot sauce. A maple sauce. Veggie chili base. Steph. Romesco. I'm here for it. Relish. Ginger sauce. A kimchi peach vinaigrette sauce. Haitian pickle thing. And spice salt. I'm into spice salt.
I'm into a lot of these
things. I'm into a lot of these things, yeah. Too. So everyone did it. There was voting. It was a very long segment of who did it better and whatever. Which of the ones would you nom the most?
Which would I nom the most? Yeah. I would probably say the hot sauce.
Yeah.
I love myself a good scotch bonnet.
I'm here for the salt.
Yeah.
I'm here for Romesco.
And
I love veggie chili, but she got burned.
Yeah. I love the idea maybe of the kimchi peach vinaigrette.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into that. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely, and the spice salt, which
probably
is
the maple
sort of, I will say that the spice salt is a cop-out.
Is it?
Because literally all you do is mix spices.
That's
like,
true.
Literally it's like a teaspoon of that, a quarter teaspoon.
He's
like,
very loose with his
literally meat. You just mix spices from
to hang out with his wife. So the judges thought Melissa sauce could have been spicier, which means Tom loves it. It's like her only rip she's ever gotten.
Which
could have been spicier.
Quite.
Well, it turns out it's because they hated the chicken.
Quite frankly, unlike our loser who we'll get to, who's cooking for herself, Melissa knows her judges and knows not to make it too spicy because at the end of the day, he's the one that carries a big stick.
That's very, very true. They loved Leanne's because it was such an original product because it was like, no one wants to make this maple sauce. It's hard to do. So you make something that people can't make, but it's still versatile. And you don't like this whole maple sauce thing, but I probably was delicious.
Quite probably.
Maple tofu is that really thin. Anywho, still Nancy Silverton making the rounds with everyone. I would like to talk about this segment, Whiskey Smooth. Who rolled the culinary dice this week?
That would be Brian Voltaggio.
What are you doing, buddy? You making calamari bolognese? That I almost just barf saying it.
Well, Nancy, smartly, as if she needs to prove her knowledge of Italian cuisine.
Give me the shivers.
That's like a very peasanty local dish that wouldn't necessarily make it into like fine dining in the United States. And it's probably something that you can find in like coastal regions of Italy.
Disgusting.
Quite.
You put the calamari. I don't want it. You know what it is? It's not what it is. Like, I understand calamari in a sauce. I don't want it later in a jar that I bought at the market next to the Rayos.
No.
And the whatever.
Yeah, like, but I agree
I don't
with
want
you.
That. That's
and there's
gross.
A couple of things like seafood sausage, hate it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I'm just mad that he stole my idea because I wanted to make calamari bolognese, but I've still got my shrimp mayo. It's my ace in the hole. Thank you. I wrote that joke earlier. Did it work? Did it land? Slow reaction.
I laughed.
Anywho, let's all take a moment for Jen's rage face. I love it. It beams in from the sidelines 1 to 3 times an episode, and it was here. So let's move to our last segment. We're just speeding through this to get to our fancy special guests we have for you guys. Speeding through. Dangerous dessert course, elimination time. Who was the sort of winner, meaning who won the tickets?
Melissa won the tickets with her kimchi peach vinaigrette.
People were all up
in
that.
I wanted to taste it.
I know.
Sheer curiosity.
who was in the top group. It was Gregory, Nini, my girl, getting some time in the top, and Eric. Delicious. I don't know what Eric's dish was. What was it?
Made a, it's like a fritter of
egg baskets.
Yeah.
So the winner was
Gregory. Correct. He was, right? With his pickles.
Gigi's party pickles? Pickle?
Oh, yeah, for what it's worth, they
spicy,
the judges
Haitian
lost
pickle.
Their the judges lost their mind.
Haitian with the Creole chicken marinated in black pepper.
I will say this. Pepper, as someone who grew up loving pickles.
Like, same.
I still can only like imagine that the roof, you know, like the top level
they love
of
them.
Pickle
they
can be so, only so
lost
good.
Their
even for someone
about
who loves
them,
but they love them. So. Yeah.
The winner was Gregory. To me, the real winner of the episode was Leanne's mom, Mama Wong. Still with us.
I can't argue with that. She's
Mama Wong. Bottom group, Stephanie. Girl.
So here's what I was
saying
about this,
because
we didn't really talk about it.
Yeah.
I think
I'm
she's in her
us,
head
outside.
And she's nervous.
She's in her head big time. But I don't remember her being this in her head in her episode.
A chili base, and the judges hit on this correctly, because I love making chili.
Mm.
The base
very
is actually
chili.
Just canned tomatoes, literally. And then you put in other stuff.
Oh boy.
But the base is just tomatoes.
So that's more offensive than mixed
So
salt.
She basically repackaged canned tomatoes and turned them into jarred tomatoes, which on the face of it do seem nicer.
Yeah. Stephanie.
That was my joke. I
Jen.
Thought.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was moving ahead to what we have
yeah,
to
I
do.
Understand.
Jen, we'll discuss. And Malarkey, he's on the bottom of his own list or what?
He's going to have to reshuffle for next week. My guess is that he doesn't share with the cameras next week.
Maybe he'll keep his list to himself now. Oy. Jen, it's not good. She lost. It's not good. Oh, I just really like eating ginger and lemon, so I thought I would just like loosely chop it, and then just leave it clumpy. And then it was on fish.
Which is insane to
and
me.
And then she put yogurt in it.
Even when I make us like juice shots.
Not good.
If we don't blend it or something, like I still do it on like the microplane.
She said it was finely chopped, but there are strings
so
happening.
That's just, and then I remove the fibrous bits.
Not good. They were mad about it. The real loser of the episode is us for not getting more of Jen's rage face in future episodes.
This is her natural disposition, so I feel like that ripping on her.
Or will we? So this leads us to something we haven't talked about yet, something we've been ignoring, something we've been neglecting, or something we've been saving for our guests, which is a little talk about a little side challenge, a little digital series that actually plays into this a lot called Last Chance Kitchen. So with that, I'd like to welcome our guests. We have two expert Last Chance Kitchen correspondents joining us from technically down the street. They are some experts in the space. They have a lot of opinions. They are hopefully, they're here. They're not here yet. We'll just wait a second. They're coming. The point is,
they're on their way.
Last Chance Kitchen, as you guys probably know, is the after show. And this is not an after show. This is the after show. It's the digital companion series. So when you get kicked off of Top Chef, you go to Last Chance Kitchen.
Because everyone has
Tommy.
A bad day.
Everyone has a bad day, as showed by Mustache Show. Let's bring in some experts. We can yammer about Last Chance Kitchen, or we can bring in people who actually know what they're talking about. I'd like to introduce you to Noelia and Mark. Noelia is a film and TV producer who's worked with people like Spike Jones and Ben Stiller. Mark is a talented writer extraordinaire and a reluctant Jersey transplant. I cannot hear you guys.
I can read your lips.
We're connecting to audio. I wanted you to be silent while I was explaining you so that you couldn't talk back about how you like Jersey more than California, because I will not hear it. Can we hear you now?
Hello.
There she is. There they are.
Last chance chicken
Hello? Coming in live. Hello? Every chicken's last chance is that moment right before you eat it and it fails. Guys, can we talk about the fact that, you know, more importantly than your professional accolades is that you are Top Chef super fans like us and you have supersized opinions?
There's a lot to say.
Yeah
we have
large
a lot of opinions.
Large.
So let's start with the big stuff. What? Okay. Last Chance Kitchen, they mix it up a lot. Where are you at with the journey we've been on in Last Chance Kitchen thus far?
Let's take you through quickly, like how we got to where we are now.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster.
Four episodes. We can do like a nice quick and dirty recap.
Please.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
So the first chef eliminated was Joe.
Mustache Joe, RIP.
He's still not over it.
Yeah.
That was shocking.
I know.
He's a good chef.
Yeah, he's really good. I mean, his flatbread looked disgusting. That's all I'm here to say.
It was a sloppy, upset.
You want flat, you don't want meh.
Let's be honest. He embarrassed himself. Really, the industry.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to throw some more sauce on. Also, clip. Yeah.
He marches into the first installment of Last Chance Kitchen to find himself face to face with Angelo.
Tender Angelo.
He's so too sensitive. He checked out in the middle of episode one. He's so like,
feelings or no feelings, what they have is an Italian bro down seafood showdown.
Yeah.
Oh, love it. Love what I'm hearing.
And I like that they're sort of, I don't know if they're like switching it up, but they're doing some fun things with Last Chance Kitchen. So like this first episode, Tom was took them out of the kitchen and brought
egregious plug.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He brought them to Providence.
Any chance to show a Beamer?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I think driving like a Lexus.
As if they don't get enough shots of the Beamer in the regular episodes, they need to squeeze in a few more.
They have to throw a bonus at them to really sponsor the app.
Well, you know, RIP HBR in Valley Ranch. No longer the sponsor.
You know what? You can't mix that with potatoes or breakfast cereal anymore. We won't let you sell it.
No, yeah, let's stop pretending.
F that. Also, I think Tom would be a really good driver.
I mean, Hidden Valley Ranch is a party.
He probably was. He's from Jersey. I feel like
competent driver.
Yeah, like turn signals, all the things. Okay.
So he takes them to Providence. You know, fancy seafood joint. Yep. Obviously, you know they have to cook for Michael some arusti, which is like a big deal. Joe cooks some like fancy geoduck, which is, you know, like that creepy phallic looking mollusk situation.
No.
And Angelo makes some like soft scramble caviar, which is just so Angelo.
It's just soft. There's no edges. Nothing to hurt.
No, no. The softest possible.
Right. And he fails.
Wet egg.
Yeah. Joe marches on to round two of Last Chance Kitchen.
Waxes and rolls.
Where he encounters the second chef to be eliminated.
Okay.
Notorious chicken failure Jamie.
Right.
Oh, no fucking Jew? Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Get on
so
out.
They do, and I like this part of the, I like how they like kind of changed it up where Tom was like, how long do you guys think you need to cook chicken?
Women in that challenge versus men.
I don't want to harp on this. I don't understand the structure. There's no benefit to proving.
We were just saying that. It's a game of chicken where nobody's going to gain any kind of advantage.
I guess is
more difficult for both of them.
So they cook with less time and fewer ingredients to nobody's.
You bone-ined yourself. Thank you.
Exactly. Oh, thank you. Oh, good job.
That was a meat joke. Yeah. And I don't mean meat. You know who loves meat? Noelia.
That's right.
Lives and dies meat. Boy, does she.
What I didn't love is Jamie making a chicken breast, because why would you ever choose chicken breast when you have an entire chicken?
Okay.
He does chicken breast. Joe does chicken liver and onions. And Jamie gets launched, because that's just what had to happen.
Yeah, he invited failure, and failure came.
That's right.
Chicken liver and onions is delicious, but you have to know your audience. It's not for everyone.
Yeah. No, certainly not.
So in the third installment of Last Chance Kitchen, Lisa arrives on the scene, fresh from her fried Brussels sprouts failure.
That was bad.
You just have to set a timer.
It wasn't bad wedding food. It was like bad 2000s restaurant side dish.
She's always about 10 years behind.
Yeah, so those are good.
Agree. I feel like, you know, it was time for, I never felt like, you know, I needed to see more from her.
Well, when she was on her first season, just to belabor the point, she looked like she was from the 90s and the early 2000s. And now she looks like she finally got to 2010.
Wow.
Right. Like she had like the piercings like on the, you know, opposite sides of her face.
Tiger King.
She's like a Portlandia sketch.
She is.
Yeah.
But she manages to vanquish Joe.
If two people who have small children had not seen that episode, but had then just skipped ahead to the most recent episode and one could recap us, she's got the fire, right? Like, she does seem to have the fire.
Yes.
Yeah, she's got a little bit of fire.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word, which apparently lack.
Well, I think that Joe, it was more embarrassing because they had to do, the challenge was a fry challenge, okay, and Joe failed on a ball of fried cheese, which is like, how do you, how do you lose on that?
Oh, she made, what happened? Did it come together or he overcooked it?
Well, he started with a sweet potato puree and then pivoted midway through to some kind of tomato jam.
Yeah.
Tomato jam.
To a what?
A tomato jam.
Yeah. Yeah. Wrapped in sweet potato, wrapped in failure, wrapped in clam sauce.
Right, exactly.
I bet Tom still said it was a good dish, right? He said I had two really good dishes. It was like there's one had a slight edge.
Right.
No, he didn't.
So, oh, really?
I want to talk about how Tom wears his glasses in Last Chance Chicken, but does not wear his glasses on the show. Explain.
That's right. When he, so the, this last, wait, that brings us to this last Last Chance Kitchen episode where, so Jen is here. She's going up against Lisa, who is her roommate or former roommate.
All of it, just Jen, and just for, the way her mouth settles.
For the 3 days that they lasted on the program together.
I'm like, oh my God, when is Jen going to break and like hurt someone?
But it's a big sauce off. They're having a big sauce off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom announces that he's going to cook the protein and they just get as long as it takes for him to cook the protein to make the sauce. Speaking of glasses, he goes to the fridge and I see him like, and he puts on the glasses and he's like, oh, should I make this bone in or what? And I'm like, okay, Tom, like you're like flirty with your glasses. I like it. Good look. He's much more like, one thing I was going to say about Last Chance Kitchen is I really like Tom's vibe.
It's because Padma's not there to suck up all the oxygen in the room.
Correct. And stand on her special mat that she likes to stand on.
Noelia
has heard me talk about this.
Padma this week.
Noelia, she didn't have any good moments. She had one line. Noelia has heard me rail about the Padma mat standing for literally years.
I've seen the mat. I've seen it.
I'm trying to cut around it now. They just make us know.
Yeah.
They want to make her know that we know her tender feet can't stand on the ground. Go on.
But I think you're right about like he might have his like fun, you know, his self.
He's more like coach, mentor, cool dad guy.
Yeah, let Tom be Tom.
Let Tom be Tom.
So do you think gross meat people love that big giant flesh thing with a stick of bone sticking out? Is that like a choice? He did them a solid by not picking something small. But also like, is that delicious?
That looked delicious.
Yeah, the pan sauce and like the base thing that he was doing, it was like I felt a lot of feelings about
the rosemary and the garlic and like just did
that thing. So what are the takes
he seasoned at multiple stages?
That's true. I mean he put it in I'm sorry, did they say the oven was 800 degrees?
I know. What?
Is that possible?
Yeah, of course. Like that pizza oven
just like through pizza oven?
I think his sex appeal heated up the oven. I'm not sure. My question is, what do you think about the sauces that they made? Very different approaches.
Right.
I felt like Lisa was on the right track.
Right.
Probably had put herself in a position to succeed.
Really?
Where Jen just continued to just flail about and appear lost.
It's kind of like, why are you even attempting to use ginger? So remind me if you guys know this, didn't Jen, when she went off her first season, didn't she literally fight with the judges and tell them they were wrong? And isn't she sort of still doing that?
She did. I feel like she's lost that edge a little bit, but yeah, she used to be a lot more argumentative.
She's arguing with the judges. Argued her right to the stools.
It's funny that she lost because she likes gingers too much, because she's willing to just eat chunks of ginger, which is
also. When did she decide that it was okay? I mean, now we're taking a step back. When did she decide that it was okay to cook for herself, thinking that that's how this works?
Yeah,
she's been on the show like 9 times at this point.
Like at least
everyone knows that you're. The idea that she's explaining that to her.
Do you think that ever at La Bernadette? I wonder if she ever worked there. Do you think they loved how she cooked for her when she'd cook their fish?
I mean, she's Rocky though, you guys.
I wonder if she should tell us one more time where she's from and where she has worked. So in a vacuum, chefs aside, which of the sauces would you have wanted to eat more on your disgusting flesh of animal?
Oh, Lisa's.
No? Really? Yeah.
You? Lisa's head was very, I mean, I love a chimichurri on a steak, but the idea that she started throwing in like various weird components because she just
seasoning.
She had too much time. So she's like, oh, why don't I put that lime in there? Oh, I think she would probably did herself a disservice. But that brings me to my one, you know, pet peeve about Last Chance Kitchen.
What?
Is he's never said it. He's always, every time, says two really good dishes.
He then says they have problems.
Yeah,
that's just his intro.
Whereas they don't
dishes.
Do that on the they don't do that on the show, but on Last Chance
because he's cool, chill Tom.
Yeah, I think that's because Tom has let his TV the edge. He's let it down a little bit. He's like, you guys are doing your best. You know, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we're hanging out. Two great dishes.
Yeah. I believe high 99% of the time.
I can just that. I know through secondhand sources that he is. So it's still hearsay, but he is high.
It's a less stressful day for him.
Yeah,
that's good. He may.
But even on the show at Chef's Table, at a chef's judge's table, he's always high as well.
Jennifer Lott, she lost.
I feel like she's got to go. It's okay.
Speaking of the end, I do think we have to.
Okay, so let's talk about what happened with Last Chance Kitchen. Lisa wins, but then what? Bombs dropped upon us.
Special announcement. Next episode of Last Chance Kitchen, whoever wins that goes straight back into the competition.
So we were discussing in our pre-call. So this has happened before, and then Last Chance Kitchen has continued because there have been seasons where someone comes in the middle and then also someone else later comes back in. We're flying by the seat of our pants here. That might not be the case this season, which the lack of Hidden Valley Ranch might speak to. Might just be a bonus.
BMW went all in on five episodes and said that's it.
Because they're only featured in one, honestly. It's unclear.
Is it like
our Last Chance Kitchen correspondence, but we're not sure what's going on.
We may or may not have you back. We'd love to.
We're happy
back from hot malarkey cakes. I have hot malarkey.
Well, let's quickly get into then what we think what is happening with us next week. So there's going to be some sort of crazy celebrating the 100 year anniversary of the LA Philharmonic, and their main dude,
which by the way is
wait,
huge
you're talking
news
about my joke.
LA. Is,
yeah,
I didn't know
it's an LA joke. Their main dude, Amel.
Nice.
Thank you. I wrote that a while ago. he's a conductor.
Yeah, I didn't want.
So for
to
the
say,
new people, these males who don't know Gustavo Dudamel, he of the curly flowing locks, is the famed young gun, even though he's not that young anymore, conductor of the Phil, LA Phil. So it's a whole to do that Dudamel is going to be feasting on your food. And it sounds like they get to pair up. All the besties get together and pair up. So we've got the self-proclaimed besties, Nini and Karen, pairing up. We've got Odd Couple, which I will leave Mark to speak to. Why would Malarkey and Leanne pair up? Please explain.
Well, nobody else wanted to.
Yeah, they're the are the manifestation.
Yeah.
Quickfire challenge.
They bring a lot of weird energy to this table. And
you have to make do with what you have because that's all they're giving you.
I mean, I feel for Leanne in that situation because Malarkey is rough.
Yeah, he's an agent of chaos, in my opinion. And probably someone who frequents Reddit men's rights pages or something.
He fits the profile, except that
he's a dangerous weirdo.
My wife had a shutter at my place that I didn't like. That she had a whisper of doubt at all times, and he sucks. He's also
have a really nice pool though, so that's why that's what she's in it.
Feel bad for their twins. And then also there's going to be drama that we know. For sure.
Anytime you have those pairings, you get some drama.
Leading right to double elimination. Was your hot take from the whatever that a team is going, or it's double elimination, but maybe it's one person from teams? Like, I couldn't quite tell what they were.
I don't think they made that clear. I think it's better if it's, whoever does the worst, like not team, but one or two individuals.
Right. If you do an amazing dish, why should you stop for having a dud of a partner?
Yeah, maybe Malarkey will throw Leanne under the bus again.
Oh, for sure.
For sure. Salt Gabe will come roaring back.
Yeah, that hog lasted long.
I only wish I had information and I knew what was happening in the future episodes, and that possibly an episode that I'm on is on in two episodes from now. But what I actually appreciate is that with the Last Chance Kitchen twist, which I didn't know about, someone I saw had probably just come back from Last Chance Kitchen, or had to have just come back from Last Chance Kitchen.
Well, saw in real life.
Math still allows for various permutations.
They knock off two people.
Possible.
Right?
Was it Brother Luck?
What?
Is it Brother Luck?
Oh my God, I fucking love Brother Luck. Oh, Brother Luck should just be inserted in the middle of every season. No questions asked, no explanation.
Yeah, every Last Chance Kitchen episode, Mark is like, is Brother Luck coming back in this one? He's
I never wanted to eat any of his food, by the way.
Never. Last Chance Kitchen got so wild. It was like, what if a cucumber participated? And also Brother Luck, like it was just.
I love it. Dumb. It's the place to get wild.
I know. You guys, thank you. Let's end with this. This is just completely out of left field. If you both, and separately, had to pick one chef right now you think is going all the way in this competition, who would it be? Let's both say it. Let's have you both say it on the count of three.
Okay.
One, two,
three. Melissa.
Interesting.
Wait, I love Eric the most. Eric is my favorite, Melissa has like...
What are you doing?
You dumped him.
I didn't dump him. I love
him. I don't want to get involved in this personal...
We ship you guys too.
What do you guys think?
But I don't think Eric has a...
I'm not allowed to say because I know stuff. So annoying. And he knows stuff because he knows me. You guys, thank you for joining. This is where we do like the housekeeping of the show. Subscribe to our channel. Give our video a thumbs up. Noelia will be really sad if you guys don't give our video a thumbs up. So that's
I will be really sad. I'll come for you.
Even though in the chat, it was just me and Noelia talking to each other. She was telling me what to say. It was great.
I'm going to keep writing to you.
You guys, I need you back. We need you back very much. And you guys do our outro.
So we're here for you.
Thanks, Nabes. And also, three of these bottles belong to you, so you better come collect them before we drink them.
We're coming for you.
Goodbye. We love you all. Can't wait to see everyone next week. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. AfterBuzz TV, everyone. Peace.
Great weekend, everyone.
Great weekend, everyone.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.